From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. California Congressman Adam Schiff is back in the spotlight and back in the crosshairs with President Trump. After a House intelligence briefing late last week, Schiff is chair of that committee, and the subject was Russian involvement in the elections. Details of the meeting somehow became public. Let's start this hour with Kate Irby, who covers the California delegation on Capitol Hill from McClatchy. Hi, Kate. Glad to have you back on the program.
Thank you.
So it would be easy to say another Monday, another controversy, but these situations are complicated and critical. Do you want to explain this latest one in more detail?
So there was a DNI official, an intelligence official, Shelby Pearson, who briefed the House Intelligence Committee in a closed briefing, not open to the public, basically saying what the Russian interference threats were for this upcoming 2020 election. And according to stories we've heard, there was talk of how the Russians favored Trump in 2020 and that they had evidence of that, as well as helping out the campaign of Senator Bernie Sanders. So we've now heard in further iterations that Shelby Pearson apparently is a very blunt talker who didn't seem to give as much nuance as some intelligence officials feel she should have in that hearing, and that what they more mean, not by they prefer Trump, but that they know he's a deal maker. They're not against Trump, but we don't have evidence that they are outright supporting him, and that that was a misleading way to characterize it in that meeting. So, of course, that information was not supposed to get to the public because it was a closed-door briefing. It somehow was leaked to the press, and now you have President Trump claiming, without any evidence that we know of, that it was Representative Adam Schiff and his office who leaked it to the press out of a political motivation against President Trump.
So a couple California connections here. The president tweeted, and here's the quote from the tweet, "Somebody please tell incompetent, thanks for my high poll numbers, and corrupt politician Adam Shifty Schiff to stop leaking classified information or even worse, made up information to the fake news media." And he goes on to tweet, "Someday he will be caught and that will be a very unpleasant experience." At the same time, the suspicions, as the Washington Post is reporting, seem to have been fueled by Devin Nunes, he says. So Devin Nunes comes up, and there's part of the story there as well. Which way do you want to take it at this point, Kate?
So, I mean, Representative Nunes and Representative Schiff used to have a very amicable working relationship. They got along. They would do joint press conferences. And I think this is just a sign of how much further that relationship has deteriorated in Washington's current environment. We see them kind of going after each other a decent amount. They really don't seem to be fans of each other. You have Representative Nunes constantly citing how Representative Schiff was pranked by these shock jocks offering nude photos of Trump. And it's just gone on and on. And especially with President Trump, who has decided to make Representative Schiff a foil for his campaign. They hated him during impeachment. They constantly were fundraising against him. You know, they had merchandise with pencil neck Schiff and all of those things. And Representative Schiff, for his part, is obviously in a very safe blue district where people generally like the work that he's been doing to call out the president. So I don't see this dynamic changing anytime soon. If anything, it might only get worse.
So we could spend a lot of time on the back and forth that happens between all these players. But let me circle back around to the point of this briefing, which was the concern about Russian involvement and the level that's known coming into this November election. What do you know about what's happening to either stop it, prevent it, slow it, identify it?
Well, we've seen states obviously being willing to do different things. California has taken its own path with that, and Governor Newsom has spoken about that. But in the Senate, our Senator McConnell has basically made it very clear that they don't want to mess with this issue right now. There hasn't been a whole lot of attention at beefing up election security, and a little bit of sweeping under the rug almost, or downplaying how serious this threat is. And of course, Democrats say that that is to their peril and they are ignoring election security and it's going to have disastrous effects, while Republicans have kind of downplayed this and say, you know, we don't really know how bad it's going to be. We're still analyzing what the Russian efforts are going to look like. Let's see what that looks like, and maybe we can talk more later.
Let's spend a moment on Devin Nunes. Eric Swalwell wrote an opinion piece that appeared in the Sacramento Bee on February 19th, and this was talking about a number of lawsuits that he has filed against different entities. You tweeted about that. You followed up with an article that appeared in the Fresno Bee on Saturday over the weekend because a federal judge in Virginia had dismissed one of those lawsuits. Can you explain the big picture story here with the lawsuits and who they're aimed at?
So Representative Nunes filed six lawsuits throughout the course of 2019. You now have four of those that are still active, and three of those are in California and one in Iowa. So the three that are left in California are against Twitter. This is the most well-known one. It's against Twitter. It's against two parody accounts known as Devin Nunes' Cow and Devin Nunes' Mom, and a Republican political strategist named Liz Mayer. And he's also suing, disclosure, my company, McClatchy, for the Fresno Bee as his hometown paper, and it's over a story that he didn't like published there 2 years ago. And these suits are all, you know, they're alleging defamation, conspiracy against him, basically due to statements published against him online that he says are malicious and false and have harmed his reputation as a congressman. So the one that was dismissed was against Fusion GPS, which is that political opposition research firm at the center of the Trump dossier from 2016, and Campaign for Accountability, which is a progressive watchdog group that filed ethics complaints against Representative Nunes during the 2018 election. So Nunes accused them of basically conspiring against him to defame him, to ruin his reputation. And a judge just said on Friday that those claims don't hit standards for a lawsuit, that he has not said enough in his complaint to meet the Supreme Court's legal standard for conspiracy or racketeering, and he threw it out without any oral argument. So Representative Nunes has some time to refile that if he would like, but this is the first time a judge has dismissed one of his lawsuits. So we're still having the rest of them going through dismissal stages at various points, but this is the first time a judge has actually dismissed it.
We'll post a link to your article, Kate, for people who might want to read more background. I am talking with McClatchy reporter Kate Irby, and she covers the California congressional delegation in Washington, D.C. So we've mentioned the McClatchy company a couple times here, and it's well known that the company is in the midst of a Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing. Are you seeing any impact of that in the Washington Bureau in the resources that you have to do your work right now?
No, which has been nice. You know, you hear about bankruptcy, and it's not always fun to hear about your company declaring bankruptcy. But at the Washington, D.C. Bureau, they have assured us that there are no layoffs currently in the works. They were great about explaining the process to us leading up and on the day of. And we so far haven't really seen any impact to our day-to-day work, which has been nice.
Anything in those conversations about the future of this organization as a media organization and continuing to cover the news the way it is?
Not that I've heard. I mean, our CEO has said things about liking our news value and continuing to show people the kind of news we can break. And people have been happy with the kind of news that we have been breaking and the McClatchy brand. But in terms of the future of the bankruptcy proceedings and what that might look like financially, I really don't know anything other than what has been publicly reported.
So let's get to the presidential race here. California about to be on center stage with Super Tuesday after we get through the next primary, which is South Carolina on Saturday. Tom Steyer is going to be back on the debate stage Tuesday night in this debate in Charleston. Talk a bit to me about California in the realm of this bigger presidential race.
So So obviously, California is huge here. Where everyone knows that it has this huge amount of delegates that everyone is clamoring over, because there's this worry that not just now it's not just Super Tuesday, now it's California and Super Tuesday, where you have this huge amount of delegates. So people think that whoever is going to get the Democratic nomination is going to have it mostly locked down after Super Tuesday. And right now, obviously, there's a lot of people feeling like that is going to be Senator Sanders, who is also polling really well in California right now. But we'll see how the South Carolina primary goes. Joe Biden used to be the favorite down there, and Joe Biden is polling second in California, so it's possible that maybe he'll be able to get enough delegates to still be feasible, but that remains to be seen. It's all going to come down to California.
Well, I think you know that Nevada's results, plus whatever happens in South Carolina's primary, might influence California voters who have their vote-by-mail ballot. You know, who knows how many are holding them? Plus, we have a large group of undecideds and some confusion over the no-party preference process that you have to take to vote in the presidential primary. So in some ways, maybe California is open for some surprises, maybe not being as predictable as the polls might show.
Definitely.
So one more thing I want to cover, and that is the coronavirus and the involvement by the California delegation in either hearings or the conversation happening on Capitol Hill.
Representative Ami Bera has been pretty involved in this. For those who don't know, he has a medical background, so he tends to get involved in these types of things since he has a lot of expertise in the area. So he's been holding some hearings on coronavirus. That's the most I've seen of too much involvement on Capitol Hill now, where it's not seen as a huge issue yet and seen as something to leave to the State Department and the CDC. But I think something he's tried to address in these is, you know, what are the current efforts to keep this going down? I think we're probably, in a hearing he's going to have on Thursday, which is his second on the issue, we're probably going to see some questions about that flight from the Diamond Princess cruise ship. If your listeners hadn't heard, there were people infected on that cruise ship who were being flown home, and they ended up being flown home on a commercial flight with hundreds of healthy people on board. The CDC said that that should not have happened. They told the State Department not to do that, and the State Department went ahead and did it anyway. They did put them in a different section of the plane. I think they took certain cautions to try to help that, but they were still on the same flight as these healthy people. We have both the CDC and State Department officials testifying at that hearing Thursday, so I'm sure that will come up, as well as ways that we can keep this number down. I believe we've had 34 infected in the U.S. so far, and the majority of those have been in California.
Well, we have a new, more recent ongoing controversy, too, about whether there will be the transfer of some people who have been quarantined at Travis Air Force Base to Costa Mesa. So I think
right.
The discussions are broadening right now. Anything else for us to know about the California delegation right now, Kate?
Nothing I can think of at the moment. Everything's coming up to Super Tuesday right now.
Right.
I think it'd be worth it to keep an eye on moderates and how they plan to do endorsements or voting as we go into Super Tuesday, because I'm seeing a lot of moderates who don't seem to be willing to make endorsements, which really can speak to the kind of identity crisis the Democratic Party is happening right now with socialism versus these more moderate Democrats.
All right. Thanks, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
You too, Beth.
Kate Irby covers the California congressional delegation for McClatchy, so we will post a link or two to some of her recent articles. And that next Democratic debate is Tuesday in Charleston, South Carolina. It starts at 5 p.m. in the West. Up next, some perspective from Nevada. Scott Rodd brings us his reporting from the weekend caucus. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio.